就是特惠啊，
干部准备
给
谁
我
看
们的负担是。
？The burden of this conference of the Lord
今天我们的神对我们要说什么话？
is to see from the book of Revelation what the Lord wants to speak to us.
的确，启示录是很特别的。
Certainly, the book of Revelation is a very special book.
因为在末后这本书是我们的主耶稣，我们的神亲自的对我们说话。
Because in this last book, it's our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us directly. There are many epistles in the New Testament, but they were all written by the apostles. Although that those are also the speaking of our Lord Jesus, but it is not spoken to us directly. So the book of Revelation is very special. So if we look at chapter 1,
He
says, in the beginning, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. It's what God personally or directly gave to our Lord Jesus Christ. In particular, that he would reveal the things which are must shortly take place to his servants. So he's sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. As a servant, one must be faithful. Definitely, John was a very faithful servant. John bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Nothing less and nothing more. He truly was a very faithful servant. Today, we all have to be such servants. But unfortunately, the servants today all speak their own thing. They give a lot of sermons. They give a lot of doctrines. And they speak whatever they like. They don't know what God wants to speak. They all speak words of their own. That is why our work is a big mess. Whatever I'd like to say, I just say it. One has his own burden, and you don't pray before the Lord, you don't fast, and ask the Lord for his word for us. Each one have its own opinion. Lots of them. Whatever you like to do, you just go ahead and do it. Wherever you like to go, you just go there. Whatever you like to do, you just go ahead and do it. This is a general attitude of people who supposedly serve the Lord. I don't know how you think about this. We all say we are God's servants. But God's servant must do all things according to God's will. Not doing things loosely. That is why in this last book, I'd like to ask myself, and I'd also like to ask all of you, what kind of a servant exactly are we? You have to ask yourself. It's not simple. John was a servant who went through suffering. Because he was very absolute concerning God's word. He was very faithful. So that is why he was persecuted. And he was sent to the island of Patmos. He was there suffering. Now I'd like to ask you all, have you ever suffered for the sake of the pure word of God? If you say your own thing and I say my own thing, I speak my own thing, we wouldn't be suffering. But if we are obedient to God's word, we definitely would suffer. Because not everyone likes to hear God's word. Lord Jesus. John said there also, in verse 9, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ.
Kingdom,
the kingdom. Are you truly for God's kingdom? And there's also the patience. The Lord's word needs our patience. That we need to partake of it. Yes, in the tribulation. All the apostles went through tribulation. Have we gone through tribulation? We're always fighting with each other. That's not tribulation. That's just fighting with one another. I disagree with you. And you are against me. There's no way for us to be in one accord. You speak your own thing and I speak my own thing. I do what I like to do. And in the end, after all the fighting and arguing, incessantly, I've seen too much of this. I think I know at least a little bit about the churches, especially about the churches in Thailand. I've been going there for many years. I do have a bit of understanding. Now you yourselves can speak up. How should it be said? Are all the brothers and sisters in harmony, in one accord? And doing things exactly according to God's will? Do we set good examples before all the saints? Do we really please God? If the Lord were to ask you today,
What
kind of a church is a church in Bangkok? Is it a glorious church? Is it a holy church without any blemish? Without any wrinkles? Without any spots? Now, if the Lord were to ask you this question, how would you answer? Is it a glorious church? We all know what is spoken in Ephesians chapter 5. Christ loves the church, right? We all agree on that, right? We all know this Bible verse, right? Do you love the church? Brothers, do you love the church? Do you love the church? He loves the church. Now, how do you love the church? How does Christ love the church? Do you love the church and you keep scolding the church? Or you keep fighting and arguing? Brother Duan, does Christ love the church? How does he love the church? He said he, because he loved the church, he gave himself for her. How about you?
Do 舍己吗？
พี่น้องสละตัวเอง
Do you forsake yourself? Do you deny yourself? Or do you forsake someone else's self?
弟兄们，大家来在一起交通的时候是舍己吗？
When the brothers come together to fellowship, are you denying yourself? Cherubon, do you deny yourself? Do you deny yourself? Ask yourself this question very well. Otherwise, we read the Bible in vain. The church that Christ wants to gain, like the church in Ephesus, is a glorious church. For 10 plus years, it's been 20 or even almost 30 years. Is the church gotten glorious? Sister Chen, what do you say? Brother Duan's mother. I see you there. Chen Shimu. Is the church glorious? Is the name of God glorified? Is the glory of Christ expressed? If we do not ask ourselves these questions, then what kind of a church are we actually building? Now, let's come take a look at the book of Ephesians, okay? Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. We're all very familiar with this. Beginning with verse 25. Ephesians 5:25. Let's start with 24. Just as a church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Do you all subject yourselves to Christ in the church? You know, brothers and sisters, by saying this word, I'm not rebuking you, but my heart really aches. Because we are a group of people who do not subject ourselves to Christ. We do not obey Christ, but we do all things according to our own whims. Did the Lord Jesus not often tell you, do not fight with one another? For me, it seems that if you're not always fighting with each other, you don't feel so good. It seems that when you're fighting with one another, you feel so good. Isn't this the case?
Don't
you feel ashamed?
How
does a church subject herself to Christ?
Is 神不是离基督，为教会做万有之首吗？
Did not God set Christ as a head over all things? This is what is told us in chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, God has set Christ as head over all things. Right? Now, is he the head over all things? Or who is the head over all things? The Lord's word is so clear, but for so many years, we don't pay attention to God's word. So husbands should love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her.
How
often have you, how often have I, or how often have we all gave ourselves for the church? Willing to suffer, to bear our own cross, and put aside ourselves and afflict ourselves, afflict our souls, not willing to do things according to our own will, but willing to lay aside our own will, willing to suffer. Are we like this? Actually, it's already stated very clearly in the book of Ephesians. In verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. We have given so many messages. Is our speaking like a two-edged sword that pierces the heart of man and exposes our real condition? The time has come. We all need to examine ourselves well before the Lord. Because the day of the Lord's coming is very near. That's why in our outline, at the very at the end of Roman numeral 1, it says, a warning, the time is near. The Lord does not rebuke us today because he wants to give us an opportunity to repent. That is why he's still giving us opportunity to examine ourselves. It's not that he does not care, but he wants to give us the opportunity to examine ourselves because God's word is too clear.
他为教会舍己我呢?
He gave himself for the church. How about me? I love myself. I don't give myself. So, Brother Deyong, do you love yourself? Or are you giving yourself? I love myself. So when you see the fighting going on, you just run away, right? We are all like this. Now tell me, how can the church become a glorious church? So that's why it says that the church should be holy. I'd like to ask the elders and the responsible brothers, do you really want to see the church become holy? When the church is unholy, does it not pain your heart? When the church can be so loose, you still think, oh, it's fine. It's not bad. In many areas, you're no longer holy. You're still fighting, and you're even in lawsuits with one another. Just like the church in Corinth. There were many problems in the church in Corinth. They didn't feel like they are glorious at all. I'd like to ask you a question. I also ask myself this question. When the Lord comes, there will be judgment. Am I not afraid of it? Are you afraid of the judgment? Do you think that when the Lord comes back, he'll be very forgiving, very generous? Are you not afraid that the Lord Jesus will say to you, I do not know you. You who do lawlessness, are you not afraid? Are you not afraid that at that time the Lord will not only rebuke you, but also judge you?
So, 神要的, 是要一个教会, 一个荣耀的教会。
This is why what the Lord wants is a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That he wants to present to himself such a glorious church. Without spot or wrinkle or any sickness, oh, we have too many sicknesses. Are you not sick? Is it a healthy church? But he wants a holy church without blemish.
Yeah.
We all are very familiar with these Bible verses. We've seen too much. Also in Taiwan, you brothers have seen a lot, right? We care very much for people. We don't care about God so much. We are afraid that people will leave, but we're not afraid that the Lord will leave us. We care. We see that we're old, all the problems of the saints. Oh, it's okay. And also all kinds of problems. We bear with them. We don't really care for God. We don't really care for our bridegroom. Whatever he does not like, we say, oh, it's okay, it doesn't matter. So in the end, do you think that the Lord Jesus would love such a church? You still want to keep all those kind of people, but those people don't really want the Lord. You think God wants a large number of people, a multitude there? What God wants to gain are the overcomers. Not certain rebellious gangs.
Oh,
Lord Jesus. I hope you forgive me for speaking such a strong word. But the Lord is coming soon. Do we still want to be speaking something nice to hear? What's the benefit of speaking some nice words? Pleasant to the ears. So, brothers and sisters, we all need to repent. So husband loves your wives. How should husbands love their wives? Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And then in verse 29, in verse 28, it says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. And verse 29 says, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Brothers and sisters, there's still an opportunity for us to repent. May we all be willing to repent. There's still the opportunity, although there's not much time left. Truly so. These words in Revelation were spoken by John 2,000 years ago. So the time is near. Now it's 2,000 years later. If you were to look at the situation of the world today, don't you have the sense in your spirit that the time is near? Look at the situation in Europe. Look at the situation in Russia and Ukraine. And look at the situation in the U.S. And look at the situation in mainland China. They all want to start a war. It's a fallen situation. When we come to Revelation chapter 6, then we will really see it very clearly. The situation in the whole world is one big mess. And how about your situation in Thailand? Brother Virat, how is your situation in Thailand? Is it good? It's not good. There's no good place in this world today, especially in this country, the U.S. It's terrible. Democracy is over. There's no cure left. It's a mess. If a free country becomes lawless, then it's hopeless. That is why we need to wake up. Now, the most important thing is the Lord's church in particular. Is there anything more important than the Lord's church in this world? Tell me. What else is more important than the Lord's kingdom and his Zion? What is more important in Thailand than the churches? You don't appreciate or love your own church? Christ loves the church. And he paid such a great price for her. He redeemed the church back to the Father. And what kind of a great price have you paid? What kind of a great price have we paid? Think about it. We have to repent. That is why in the first three chapters of Revelation, the Lord Jesus spoke to the churches directly, because that's the most important thing to him. That is why, brothers and sisters, in these few days, come before the Lord and repent in a good way, because the day of the Lord's coming is too near. May we all be a servant. May we all be servants like the Apostle John. There's still the opportunity. This is God's mercy towards us.
Yeah.
So you see, Roman numeral 2, it's the revelation of the triune God and his unchanging plan for his people. It's the triune God himself who is speaking or greeting to his churches. For the rest, it's Paul sending greetings to the churches, right? Or Peter greeting the churches. Or James greeting the churches. It's the apostles who were greeting the churches. But do you have the sense here in Revelation, it is the great and mighty God who personally is greeting or sending greetings to his churches. Yeah, Brother Guangrong, do you feel very special? It's very special, right? God personally came to greet us. Don't you think that it's very, very precious? Don't you feel that this is precious? If the president of Taiwan would come and greet you personally, won't you feel that it's very precious? But it is God who is personally sending his greetings or speaking to the churches. Because he, God the Father, he's the one who is and who was and who is to come, the eternal God. He is omniscient. He knows all things. He is the ever-existing one. He knows your situation today, your condition today. He's even more clear concerning your condition previously. Don't you think that he knows or he is clear concerning your future condition? Not one thing is hidden from him. He already knew in advance what was to happen in the future. He is even more clear concerning our condition today. Perhaps you are not in the clear yet. You don't know about it yet. Oftentimes, I don't know about my own condition. He is the one who is, who was, and who is to come. He is the I am that I am. The ever-existing one. Nobody created him. Besides, he never changes.
ในอดีตเราไม่มีหนทาง
You cannot do anything with the past, but he can. You know, as concerning things in the past, I would say, no, Lord, I have no way to change it. But the Lord tells me, I have a way. He can save us out of our former condition. You might not have a way. You don't have a way, but he has a way. All the future events, all the things that happen in the future are all in his hand. Do you believe in this God? But you need to repent. Did he say that he has forgotten everything in the past? You might not forget it, but he has forgotten it all. Right, Brother Duwen? Have you forgotten all the things in the past? You still remember them so very clearly. There's no way for you to remove those thoughts, those memories. But our Lord Jesus said, your sins, I will remember no more. He has wiped them clean. Tell me, this glorious God, and yet if you don't repent, he has no way. For things that are happening today, we need his help as well. And for things in the future, we also have to entrust it to him. Otherwise, what are you going to do when he comes back? If you don't know, take care of the things today. When he comes back, there will be judgment. What are you going to do? A glorious God. You have to believe in him. You have to get to know him. You have to trust in him. Rely on him. Because you also have to rely on his seven spirits. All the things that God does is through the seven spirits. Do you remember the seven golden lampstands? Did you not just fellowship concerning Zechariah chapter 4 recently? What is the vision of the golden lampstand? It's not by man's ability, nor is it by man's power, strength. But it all depends on the Spirit of Jehovah. He has done it. So what are you relying on today? You have to rely on the seven spirits of God. How much we need the seven spirits of God. It's complete. It's all equipped. All that we need are all in the seven spirits of God. Without the seven spirits, the church cannot be built. No one has the ability. Do you have the ability? Well, we have a lot of opinions. Oh, what should we do? We should do this, we should do that. As if we're very capable. Actually, if you were to look at the condition of the churches, then you would realize that we are not capable at all. We have to trust in the seven spirits and also the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is a faithful witness. When the Lord Jesus came to this earth, He did not just preach sermons, but He was a witness to the glory of God. We know how to speak, but we don't have the testimony. It's very shameful. So what if we speak, but there's no testimony? The Lord Jesus is a faithful witness. Whatever He spoke, He lived it out. And He did it. He always glorified the Father. We know how to speak, but we don't know how to act, how to do. But He is the faithful witness. He lived such a life. He lived it out, expressing the glory of God. Look at his life. From the time of his birth until he was nailed to the cross, he was always a faithful servant. We only know the Lord as our Savior. But we do not know the faithful witness. Now tell me, which one is more important? Is the Savior more important or the faithful witness more important? We need salvation. But we don't need the faithful witness, right? Are we willing to be a faithful witness, just like the Lord Jesus? Besides, He resurrected. He's the firstborn from among the dead. What does the resurrection have to do with you? Tell me. overcame death, swallowed up death. We have become his brethren, his brothers. Are we conformed to his death? Conform to his image? Besides, he resurrected and he became the head of the church. He needs to have the preeminence, to have the first place in the church. I'd like to ask the brothers, who has the first place, the most preeminent position in the church? We all have to consider these points. Then he ascended into the heavens, right? And he's seated to the right hand of God. What is he doing, being seated to the right hand of God? What is he doing there? Have you ever considered that? He ascended into the heavens to do what? Why did he have to ascend to the heavens? Isn't it better for him to stay on the earth? And he can be with us all the time. And he still wants to be seated on the throne in the heavens. Tell me, what does that have to do with us? No relationship at all? Nothing to do with us? It says here, he's seated to the Almighty One in heaven, and he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his scepter is righteous. And he wants to put all his enemies down at his footstool. And Zion is his kingdom on earth today. He is the one reigning over all the kings of the earth. Now tell me, today we are his Zion on the earth representing him. Do we not have anything to do with him? Who is ruling in Thailand? Virot. Who is ruling in Thailand? Is the Thai government reigning over Thailand? Or is it our God reigning through us in Zion? We truly do not understand our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 101 tells us,
wow.
the scepter of his reign comes out of Zion to conquer all his enemies. But you don't care. You're fighting and arguing over there. So it's Psalm 110. Sorry, not 101. But Thailand is not in a mess yet, and we ourselves are in a mess. We people, God's people, we're too slow. We do not know our king who is seated in the heavens. Actually, today the world is in such a mess, but you have to trust in the Lord who is seated on the throne in the heavens. That is why, brothers and sisters, do consider this matter well. And besides, especially in chapter 1, the goal or the purpose of his saving us is that he wants us to be a kingdom of priests. It's okay if you don't want it, but this is what God's word says. Why does he have to redeem us from sin? He not only saved us from our sins, but freed us from sin. So that here in the church today, we can become a kingdom of priests, so that we can rule and reign with him and be his priests. The priests are so very important. God's plan had never changed. He brought his people out of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 19, he already said, if you would obey my voice, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. But you don't want it. Nobody wants it. You like to, oh, sing some hymns, give a sermon, give a message, and then you go home. Is that a kingdom of priests? The brothers and sisters don't even have a concept that they are actually priests. You don't want it. But God's will never changes. It won't change. You should consider this. That's why Peter says it very clearly, the church is a holy temple, a royal priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices to our Father.
不要吗?
You don't want it? It's okay if you don't want it. Actually, I shouldn't be saying it's okay. It's up to you whether you want it or not. It all depends on what you think of God's will. This evening, I wrote down a few verses, but I don't have the time to read it. It's okay. Let's first stop here now. Let's have some prayers.